Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us, please check out our website at www.hisloveministries.net. Thank you.
Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all.
Promises of God. That's what we're going to be talking about again today in Ephesians. I'm not much one on doing special messages for special days. I know it's Mother's Day. Today we're going to really, I guess all the songs we were singing, we were talking about how we are amazed that we are forgiven and how we can stand on the promises and trust and obey. And that's really, you know, the book of Ephesians tells us, you know, that we can trust, obey, that we have been forgiven all these things, and that we can stand on the promises because there's so much that God has given us. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about how this whole book really, ultimately it's about how God forms the church and who we are, our identity in Christ, and it's all because of Christ, right? It's nothing because of us. He says it's not by our good works we've been saved, but it's by His grace. You know, and that's the amazing thing about it. The old song, Amazing Grace, right? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. As we look at Ephesians this morning, we're going to get to verse number 3 today. And we'll probably just go through verse 6 today. But think about this, you know, as we read this section this morning. Let's read the first three verses, or verse 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. You know, I was thinking about this, that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. You know, there's so many things that a lot of times I was listen, one man, he said, it's like this. Have you ever noticed that we're always asking for stuff that we already have? You know, the Bible tells us, we say, Lord, I need to be more loving. And God says it in Romans chapter 5, that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts, that we love because He first loved us, right? That we can love others, we can love Him. And then we ask for peace, and He says in John chapter 14 that my peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives you, but I give you peace, right? We say, oh, well, we don't need that either. We've got it. And then He says, well, you know, we need strength. And then He says in Philippians 4:13 that I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. And so we have strength, and we have love, and we have peace, you know. And we say, well, I need joy. And Jesus said, I came that your joy might be full, right? And we say, well, we need more out of life. And He says, I come that your life might be abundant life. And we just ask for all these things that we already have. And that's really what the book of Ephesians, at least in these first chapter or so, is going to tell us, that we have everything we need in Christ to live out the life that He's called us to live. There's a verse in 1 Peter And I love this verse. I think it's 1 Peter or 2 Peter. I can quote it, but I might not be able to tell you exactly where it's at. 2 Peter, I think, verse chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. And he says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So what does he say here? That God has given us what? All things that pertain to life and godliness. We have everything we need to live the Christian life. We have everything we need to live this life God has given us through the Holy Spirit. You know, and if we don't have these things, it might be that we don't know the Lord. But the second thing, if we know the Lord, is how do we get these things? We get them by the power of the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, the Holy Spirit, he says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. We say, you know, I need more faith. I need more patience. I need more all these things. But you can't, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is all those things. Galatians, I think it's chapter 5, says if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So basically, what is walking in the Spirit? You know, walking in the Spirit is not really just this ooh thing, you know, where you jump up and down, holler, scream, or speak in tongues, or a lot of people do all kinds of crazy things today, and they call it being filled with the Holy Spirit. But you know what being filled with the Holy Spirit is? I wish they would change that word from filled to controlled. Because what does he say in Ephesians 5:17? He says, don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, if you're drunk with wine, what's controlling you?
The wine.
The wine is, right? And the word filled is really the word controlled. It says in one place they were filled with anger. What does that mean? They're controlled by anger, right? When you're filled with the Spirit, it's not like, you know, okay, well, I got to go to the gas station and get filled up, right? But you have as much of the Holy Spirit as you'll ever have. And we'll talk about that more when we get to Ephesians 1:13. But he says that you have the Holy Spirit the moment you're saved. It comes to a matter of submitting to the Spirit, that trusting and obeying, and just letting him work through you. Letting him control everything that you do, right? Colossians says it this way, that let the word of God dwell in you richly, you know, and then you'll be speaking in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, speaking another and giving thanks and submitting to one another. Same thing Ephesians 5 says, right? That when you're filled with the Spirit, you'll be speaking to one another about the word of God. The things that you speak about will be good things. You'll have joy. You'll be submissive. You'll be thankful. And so that's being controlled by the Spirit, is just letting God, you know, have the mind of Christ. Let His Word control what you think and say and do, right? That's being filled with the Spirit, being controlled by the Spirit. And that's all that is. Paul comes to Ephesians chapter 1. He can say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, who is he? He's the blessed one, right? What does it mean to be blessed? It's the word we get eulogy from. What do we do when we do a eulogy? That's usually a funeral or something, right? And what do? We say good things about somebody, right? And what is Paul saying? God is good. There's none good but what? God. God is good. And he's good what? All the time, you know? And all the time God is good. And so he's blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's the God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that, I don't know exactly how that works, but God has put the Trinity together. There's three parts. And here we're talking about all the blessings in verses 3 through 6, what we're talking about is the blessings that were given to us in the past. In verses 7 through 12, we'll talk about the blessings that are ours now, the inheritance, and then in the future, and then our redemption, I mean. And then in verses 13 through 15, he'll talk about all the things that are ours in the future. And so today, the key word is really election or choosing. And that's not a word to be scared of. Do you know that? We'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But what does he say? He is blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who's our Lord? Jesus Christ, right? He's our boss. He's the one we go to. He's the one we serve. He's the one we submit to. And what has he done? He has not only is he blessed, but he's also what? The blesser. Because what does he say? He has blessed who? Us. With what? Every spiritual blessing. Your Bible might say all spiritual blessings. Every spiritual blessing. The more I read the Bible, the more I understand in the Old Testament. Have you ever noticed in the Old Testament all those guys and all those people, they were blessed what? Physically, right? God says, you know, if you serve me and do what's right, then I'll do this for you. I'll give you the land and I'll bless you and I won't curse you and I won't bring the diseases on you. And they had money and all these things. And Abraham and all these people, they had money and possessions. But that was the way God blessed them in the Old Testament. And people get confused in the New Testament and they think, well, you know, that's what God's supposed to do in the New Testament. That's why we got all these prosperity preachers that want to say that God's going to give you, you know, health, wealth, and prosperity. But that was the way he kind of operated in the Old Testament to kind of show his blessings on his people. And there was one place where he says, you know, if you'll do this, I won't put all the diseases that I put on these other people. But in the New Testament, he blesses us with every spiritual blessing. What is a spiritual blessing? He says, in the heavenly places. You know, I think about spiritual blessings. That spiritual blessings are the things that God just does in their life. You know, sometimes God will do something for me that it wouldn't mean anything else to anybody else. You know, I'll read a word or he'll just do something in my life and just show himself to be God or whatever he does. You know, like this week, like I said, he just kind of, like I tell y'all, sometimes he has us hanging out on the clothesline to dry for a while, right? And you can't pull the clothes off the line till they're dry, right? Well, you know, God, sometimes he puts us out on that clothesline and he says, all right, Marty, I got you up there. When you dry, I'll pull you down. Until you're ready, until you've learned a lesson, until you got understand what I want you to understand, I'm not going to pull you down off that line. And he'll hang us out there a little while and we're like, okay, I'm ready to get down now. He said, you ain't ready yet. And finally, he'll pull you down off the line. When things are right. And then you're just like, oh God, you're just such a blessing. You do everything so wonderful. You know, it's like Lazarus. They said he was 4 days late, but he was what? Right on time. He's a right on time God. And that's the amazing thing about God, how he just does things in our lives. And you know, spiritual blessings can be just talking with another believer, all kinds of things. But you know, The spiritual blessings are the things that God gives us what? In the heavenly places. What are the heavenly places? The heavenly places are the things like right now Philippians 3:20 says that we're caught in this tension between heaven and earth. That we, if we know Jesus Christ, that we're citizens of heaven, but we're living here, right? And we've got all these blessings. And a lot of the blessings are the things that he gives us, that strength, that Holy Spirit, the ability to have love and joy and peace and long-suffering, and all these things are the blessings just to know that we're going to heaven. And all of these things are the spiritual blessings. He has just given us all kinds of things. And sometimes, you know, the blessings. I mean, I get blessed when I teach the Word of God. You know, sometimes I get more blessed than I think than the people I'm teaching. Not because I'm like, wow, you know, I'm so great or anything, but it's just a blessing to be used by God. You know, when you know that God is using you, when you say something to somebody and they go, oh, wow, that was just what I needed to hear. You know, thank you. And he said, well, it wasn't me. The Lord just, you know, wanted me to tell you that. And he put that on my heart and he put you on my mind to pray for you. And so there's all kinds of spiritual blessings. As we walk through this world, we know that we're in that tension. We're getting part of the kingdom of God now, but one day we'll get all of it, right? There's those spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, what? In Christ. We get them, what? And as you read this book, it's like 26, 27 times he says, in Christ, in Him, through Him. You know, it's just over and over and over. It's by Christ, in Christ, in Christ. We're in Him, we're in Him. You know, like I said a couple weeks ago, we're either in Adam or we're in Christ. We're either saved or we're not saved. We're either going to heaven or we're not. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And then look what else He also did. He says here in verse 4, just as He chose us, what? There it is again, in Him. He chose us. You know, and what is this choosing stuff? It's the doctrine of election. And people get scared to death of that. Because in a minute, he's going to talk about, in verse 5, about predestination. And you know, people get scared of those words. Election and predestination. But all election means, all choosing means, is that God made a choice. And I can't tell you how this stuff works. All I can tell you is that the Bible says, whosoever come, let him drink of the water of life freely. That God so loved the world that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But then on the other hand, it says, basically, that, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how I wept for you. And as a mother for her chicks, but you were not willing to come to me. And then he tells the Pharisees, he says, why do you always resist the Holy Spirit? And over and over and over again, the Bible will say, whosoever will. But then you know what it'll also say? That people decided they didn't want to. So you know what? I don't know what you say about free will. But I can tell you what, in the Bible, there's two things that's going to play out all the time through the Bible. That's called the sovereignty of God. That means that God is sovereign. And somehow or another, He works out things just like He wants them. But you know what? He never discounts human responsibility. In other words, whosoever will may come. But then He says He chose. Now God's sovereign and I'm responsible. And how those two meet and how they work together, I don't know. I'm not God, right? We're not God. And you know, some people try to go so far and say God is totally sovereign and He does everything apart from human responsibility. That's wrong. Some people say it goes so far that it's all men, right? We got churches based on that. We got Free Will Baptists. And then we got some churches that are so far the other way that they say that God chose some people to go to heaven and some people to go to hell. And that's wrong too. Somehow, I don't know how it works, but God says, I'm free to choose, but He says He also chose me before the foundation of the world. You know what? I'm just glad that He chose me. You know what? And you know, I told somebody one time, I said, you know what? I had a choice, but I didn't have a choice. And you know why I didn't have a choice? It was kind of like Jonah, you know, he went to Nineveh and he ran away from the call that God told him. And God put him in a whale and He spit him back out. He could have run again, couldn't he? He had a choice, but he didn't have a choice. So He made it so clear to Jonah that there was only one choice. And I think that's what God did to me. He made it so clear to me, I had a choice to either keep living for the world, or I had a choice to start living for Him. And He made it so clear to me that there really wasn't but one choice, and I chose God after He chose me. Because He says, none comes unless the Father draws him, but the Bible says, and I will draw all men unto me. So how you figure out all that stuff, I have no idea. But the Bible teaches that God, that's for God to work out, right? He's God, I'm not. And when you start going beyond the bounds of Scripture, you get in trouble. Let's move on from that. He chose us in Him when? Before the foundation of the world. I mean, think about this, folks, that God chose us before the foundation of the world. Before anything was ever created, before any people were created, before anything was ever done, He says, I want him. I want her. I want him. I want her. And God chose us. You know, it's a blessing to have children, but you know, that little old child that gets picked when you go adopt him, now, that's a blessing because, you know, somebody said, well, I want that one. And that's what God did, is He chose us. Like I said, I don't know how it all works, but He chose us before the foundation of the world. Here's the point. What does it say? He chose us, why? That we should be holy and without blame before Him. Now, you know, what is the purpose of the choosing? That we would be holy. That's why God chose us. He wanted us to be holy. We know what holy means. It means to be set apart, be dedicated to God. Sometimes we have special dishes that we set aside for special occasions like Christmas and special meals or birthdays or dinners. You know, we have those things set aside. Those are holy for those occasions. They're not holy in the sense of God, but they're set apart, right? And that's what God does with us. He sets us apart to be holy, to be His children, to live for Him, and to be without blame before Him. What is without blame? In the eyes of God, we are totally and completely blameless people. Do you know that? I mean, I was talking to one of the residents this morning. They were so upset because somebody had given them a hard time. And that was one of the reasons I was partially a little bit late getting started. They responded wrongly. And I said, you know what? That's okay. I said, yes, we all make mistakes. Yes, we all mess up. Yes, we all goof up. The most glorious thing isn't that God heals cancer and He heals sicknesses and He heals diseases. The most glorious thing is that God's working everything together for good. He knows the good, the bad, the ugly. Everything we've done, everything we're going to do, and He still somehow or another works it all out for His good. And, you know, I said, the Bible says the righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up. You know, I said this not too long ago, and then I found this verse. I said, real Christians keep going. And real Christians get back up. They don't quit because they know that it's okay. When God died on the cross for us through Jesus Christ, He knew every single thing we were ever going to do right. And in the eyes of God, we're holy and without blame. But you know what? We also, there's a practical side of that too, right? As we live out this world and we trust and obey and we get rid of those sinful things in our eyes and people look at us and they can't blame us for something because they know we didn't do it, right? What does Peter say? He says, let your conduct be honorable before the Gentiles so that when they revile you, you know, they feel bad because there's nothing really to mistreat you for. And so then later on, they'll feel bad because they've abused you and used you, but you didn't do anything wrong. And so you keep your conduct honorable and they'll keep, and after a while, they're like, you know, that's what he talks about, heaping burning coals on their head. He says He chose us to be holy and without blame before Him. Before Him, we're holy and without blame. And He chose us what? In love. And I don't know if this in love is He chose us in love, because it says God so loved the world, and it could be that. But it also means that we're to be holy and blame in love ourselves. So how do you really show that you're a Christian? By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another, right? Because you have a special kind of love, and that when we have that special love, we can love people in spite of who they are, right? I mean, that's what a Christian is we love people anyway. Because we remember that God loved us anyway, right? He says in verse 5, having predestined, or he predetermined before time, he made up his mind, he made a decision to do something. What did he decide to do? He decided to adopt us as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. Now, what is the adoption? Now, you know, when we adopt a child, what do? They become a full-fledged member of the family, right? That means they get all the rights, all the privileges of the family. And that's the way it was in the Roman society. You know that an adopted kid, that the Roman father, he could get rid of his non-adopted kids that were born legally to him by birth. But he couldn't get rid of that child that was adopted. Once he was adopted. You couldn't get rid of him. He couldn't disown him. He could disown his birth family, but he couldn't disown his adopted family. But what does that adoption mean? It brings us into the family as full-grown sons with all the rights, all the inheritance of a full-grown son. That means that everything that God owns, we own it, right? He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. What does that mean? It means that everything Christ has, everything that he owns, we own. And we don't get it all now. Romans 8, let me read that to you. Romans chapter 8. I was used to being in John for so long, I was turning the wrong way. Let's see here. Romans chapter 8. What does he say here? I was trying to find the verses. There it is. He says, verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer him with him, that we may also be glorified together. What does that say? That we've been adopted and we're heirs. If we're children, then we're heirs. And if we're heirs of God, we're joint heirs with Christ. What is a joint heir? It means the same thing one person gets, the other person gets, right? So everything that belongs to Christ belongs to us. Now, we don't get it all now. We just get a taste of heaven. We've been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. But one day we'll get it all. Because we'll see him and we'll be like him. We'll rule and reign. Christ is going to rule and reign. We're going to rule and reign with him. Do you know that? He says he had destined us to adoption by sons, as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. There it is, by Jesus again, to himself. He adopted us to himself. How? According to the good pleasure of his will. Because he wanted to. According to the good pleasure of his will. He did it because he wanted to. Because he loved us and he cared for us. He didn't have to do it. And what's the good pleasure of his will? Look at verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. And that's what this whole section about. Three times we'll see in the first 15 verses. And if you remember, I said those first 15 verses are what? One run-on sentence of 202 words. Now if you wrote this sentence, the first 15 verses in Greek are one sentence. Paul wrote that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And if you wrote that today, or Paul wrote that today, his English teacher would flunk him. But you know what? He wrote that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And three times in verses 1 through 15, he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, to the praise of the glory of Jesus Christ, to the praise of the glory of the Holy Spirit. And so he brings the whole Trinity in, because all three are involved in our salvation and all the blessings we get. And then he says, the glory of his grace. What is his grace? Giving us what we don't deserve, people. You know, think about this. You know, going back to this adoption of sons. Let me just jump back there one second. I wanted to say this. You know, some people say, well, my folks came over in the Mayflower. My folks this, my folks that. I'm this, you know, I got this family line. I got this family line. Hey, folks, I'm a son of Jesus Christ. That's my family line. Can you beat that? And if you trusted Christ, you're a son of God too. Nobody can beat that family line. When they say, my folks this, my folks that, say, well, I've been adopted by Jesus Christ and God's my father. And tell them that. So he says, to the glory of his grace, he gives us what we don't deserve. And then he says, what is that grace? That grace is that by which he made us accepted into beloved. He gives us what we don't deserve. Somebody said grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. When he died on the cross, he gives it to us all. He gives us all his blessings. He makes us heirs. He adopts us as sons. You know, of course, sons, that means sons and daughters, right? All of us become children of God. Remember, folks, he accepted us. We're accepted. We don't have to run around. You know, some people, they're trying to get identity by, you know, doing all kinds of things and doing all these good works. And some people are going to the psychiatrist and the psychologist and says, oh, I'm just having an identity crisis. I'm just poor, pitiful me. I'm nobody. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares for me. Folks, if you read this section right here, what Jesus did for you, what God did for you, remember, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of you. You've been accepted into beloved. You've been adopted as a child. You've got all the blessings in the spiritual places. You've got the inheritance. You're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He said, no longer do I call you servants, but I call you friends. And he loves you more than we'll ever know, right? I mean, we say we love somebody, but goodness, the love that we have for somebody is nothing. He said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And we talk about love, we talk about all this stuff, but listen, folks, in Christ, you don't need all these other things. You don't need to go do this and that and the other and say, you know, look at what I did, look what I'm doing, and look who I am, and look at my family line, and all these things. Just tell them, you know, I've been accepted into beloved. Who's the beloved? Jesus Christ, right? He says, when Jesus was getting baptized, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And so we've been accepted into beloved because Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We have been accepted. We no longer have to worry about who we are, where we've been, what we've done. Because everything that we've ever done, whether it's bad, God's forgiven us for it. He knew it before we ever did it. And he loved us anyway. Remember that? He loved us anyway. Isn't that what love is, folks? It's loving people for who they are. Love is an action. Love doesn't think wrong. It overlooks things. All these things in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is an action. You know, and that's what Jesus did for us. So, folks, just remember, when you're feeling down and out, and you feel like, you know, nobody loves you, nobody cares, and whoa, poor, pitiful me, just remember there's one that always loves you, always cares for you. He died for you, and that you've been accepted into beloved, you've been forgiven, you've been made a joint heir, you're adopted as a child, that everything that God has, one day you're going to get it. You're going to rule and reign with him in heaven. Isn't that amazing? And so we have nothing to be poor, pitiful me about. We just have to remember who we are in Jesus Christ. And so today, just remember that. And let's thank God for that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. And we thank you that you sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins. And we just love you so much today. We ask that you would just help us, Lord, to remember that we can love because you first loved us. That if things aren't going right, maybe it's because we haven't trusted you and depended on you and looked to you, Lord. And when other people look down at us, help us to remember, Lord, that it doesn't matter what other people think as long as we're okay with you. long as we're doing what we think is right based on what you've told us to do, that we're living for you as best as we know how, Lord, we've been accepted, and that you love us no matter who we are, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, and you always will. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. So, Lord, help us to remember that no matter where we go, no matter what we do, and just to always keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him despised the cross and endured the shame and has sat down at the right hand of the Father forevermore. Amen. All righty. Well, let's sing. Why don't we sing number 71, Amazing Grace? How about that? Because that's what this is, right? It's Amazing Grace, and it's so sweet.
I'm the child without remorse. I'm the widow left alone. So be love, be love to me.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to our program, The Least of These. Every week, we at His Love Ministries, we go out and reach out to those the world has forgotten. We go out to many places throughout the community. We conduct about 70 services every single month. And we go out and minister to those who can't get out and go to church services, those that have been forgotten by the community, those in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, mental health facilities, even the prisons and the jails. And so as we go out and minister to the least of these, we're trying to reach them with the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ. And he is the only way to get to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by me. Every week we're out there trying to minister to these folks, and every week we're in the trenches just giving them the gospel, trying to grow them, trying to strengthen them. Many of them are unable, or all of them actually, are unable to be able to go out to services. And so we go out to them. And it's a job that we love because God has called us to it. And so if you like what you hear with our podcast, our main website is hisloveministries.net. You can go over there and you can help us fulfill our mission, reaching out to those the world has forgotten, to the least of these. Because Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And so if you want to help us, go out to our website. There's a Donate Now button. You can click on it and donate directly to us. Or you can send us a regular mail, Post Office Box 30513, Savannah, Georgia, 31410. Thank you very much, and God bless you for helping us.